turn to 1 Peter, the chapter 4, the portion that we read together. 1 Peter, the chapter 4. I'm going to speak to the other part of that text found in verse 17. What shall the end be of them that have been at the gospel of God? Very solemn question. Question from the Lord Himself. What shall the end be of them that have been at the gospel of God? Let's look to the Lord for this. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the hymn singing and prayers that has ascended from our heart. We thank indeed that Jesus is our righteousness. We thank indeed He is everything to His people. We pray now to be with us as we turn to Thy Word, maybe a word in season, a word of challenge to our hearts, maybe there's some in the meeting not seeing. And we pray that Thou would touch them. Thou would call them with, Lord, that voice of the waking dead, and I would bring them to see the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Close us in with Thyself. Bless us now by Thy precious, precious word, that everything be said and done for Thy glory, pray in Jesus' great name. Amen. The Apostle Peter was a faithful servant of the Lord. We know he had his faults like all men, but he was a man who loved Christ. In John chapter 21, verse 15, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He was a man, a great man of God, no doubt. He had his faults. But in his heart, he had this measure of love for Christ. And Christ says to him, Do you love me? And he said, I knowest that I love thee. And you say that this afternoon from your heart? The Lord says, that I love thee. Can you say every one of this week? Every one of His people, maybe there's some unseen. You cannot say these words. You do not like Christ. You do not like His word. Do you love Christ? Peter says, Lord, I know that I love Thee. The Lord knows all about you. It's all about your heart. You all about Peter. Whether Peter loved him or not. He had a great minister. He had been called the others before him into the ministry to serve Christ. In Matthew 4, verse 19, the Lord came to Peter and Andrew, and he says, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, he says. Leave your nets, leave your occupation, leave your homes, leave your possessions. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you preachers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou will catch men. Thou will see people delivered from their sin. Thou will see people saved. He will have a great ministry in the work of the Lord. A ministry also of preaching and accompanying also can be said the people of God. Here it is in this epistle. He's writing to Christians who were suffering. Christians who were scattered. Christians who were going through a hard time, because in the verse 12 of this particular passage we read together, he says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is the trial. Oh, it's not that just these people were going through a trial. But he says it is a fiery trial. It's like a fire. It hurts. It is painful. It is fierce. He says, I know that you're going through hard times and difficult times, like going through a furnace. You see, there's a trial that says what? To try you. And there are times the Lord tries His people. And Peter would write to comfort these people about their trials. He tells them how to behave in their trials. What should they do in their trials? Verse 13, he says, But rejoice. Imagine saying that. The hard times, difficult times. But rejoice. The Lord Jesus tells that in the Beatitudes about rejoicing when people persecute you. But rejoice, Christ said, and be exceedingly glad. And He says you're going through a trial, you're going through the furnace, you feel the heat of the battle. He says, but rejoice, because you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. And when His glories are being revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You're going to heaven. the everlasting life. You see, it tells them how to behave in their trials. Rejoice. How do we get on? How do we get on when we feel a grumbling when trials come? We do. But rejoice that God's with us. That's the blessing from the Word of God. Peter encouraged these people, difficult times, hard times. Tell them how to behave in their trials, and to remember also in the times of trial that judgment might have begun at the house of God. What shall the end be of them that have been at the gospel of God? Because there were people persecuting Christians. Beyond God, they had risen up against these people. They did not like Christ, they did not like His Word, they did not like His people. They were coming against these Christians. And He reminds them, you may be suffering now, but what will the end be of these men? What will be their end? How will they bear it? The whole picture changes. The emphasis of all their sufferings and everything changes, friends, from them on to these people who did not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He spoke about those people being judged and suffering, He mentions the words of our text. What shall the end be of them that have been at the gospel of God? And there are three simple things He speaks about in this question. He speaks about a glorious message. What's the glorious message Peter is speaking about here? Well, he refers to the gospel of God. Notice what he says. What shall the end be of them that have been at the gospel of God? Now, as I read the Bible, and you would read the Bible, we see that the gospel is referred in many ways. You can read the times. It's called the gospel of Christ. And then we find in Matthew 4, verse 23, the gospel of the kingdom. In Romans 10, verse 15, well, he says it's the gospel of peace. In Acts 20, verse 24, it's the gospel of the grace of God. And seven times in the Bible, we find that this title given to the gospel, it is referred to as the gospel of God. And that's a good message. Do you know any other better message than that in this world? Because I don't. The glorious message that's found here in this text. It is the gospel of God. There are some people who teach us there are seven different gospels. But that is not the case. There is only one gospel. That means when we come to the Bible, as we have seen, it goes under different titles. But it is all the same gospel. There is only one true gospel in this world. There is only one gospel in this book. It is referred to as the gospel of God, and there's none other. In Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul writes very solemn and very serious words unto this church. He says, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let it be a curse." As we said before, so say I now again, if anyone preach any other gospel unto you, but not have received, not be a person. And Paul realized in his day and age there were people and they were preaching another gospel. They had changed the message of the gospel. And he says, if anyone, it doesn't matter who it is, it was even an angel from heaven, that'll go to hell. That's what it means to be a person. God honors his message. Dear friends, there's one gospel. It's the gospel of God. You see, the source of this gospel, where did it get this beginning? How did this glorious message come to us? Where did it come from? Who thought out the plan and purpose of salvation? Oh, friends, was it man? Was it angels in heaven? No, it's the gospel of God. It's God who thought out this message. The true gospel comes from God. It originated in heaven. Because in Revelation 13 and verse 5, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Oh, the eternal plan of God to bring the gospel into this world. The plan of the gospel originated in heaven. It is God's gospel. The gospel does not belong to the Presbyterian Church. for thine glory preaching. And may God close the doors of this church to them to stop preaching the gospel of God. And that's not just for here, but all over our province. If we ever preach any other gospel, the Lord forbid anyone ever stands behind this pulpit in days to come does not preach the gospel of God. Dear friends, the gospel is not the law. It did not originate from the Free Presbyterian Church. Or can we say the Methodist Church? Or the Dutch Reformed Church, because we're here in this particular part of the world at this particular time. It did not come from the Church of Rome. It did not come from the Methodists. Nor the source of this glorious message, this gospel that came from God, it's the gospel of God. And you glad that in your hand today, in this book, you have the gospel of God? You glad you're in a church today that preaches no other message but the gospel of God, you see? The source of this message is God's. It's His word. It's His plan. It's His gospel. Therefore, we should take note of this message. Therefore, we should listen to this message. Therefore, everyone in this place, in this country, in this world, should obey this message. It's God's. The subject of the gospel of God. Well, the gospel of God is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. It's all about Christ. Over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 to 4, you will find a mention of the gospel to that church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 to 4. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand." He's writing these people, and he's talking about this gospel, the same message. And he says in the verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So he tells us, what is this gospel? Well, the gospel is all about Christ. It is all about His death. It is all about His sacrifice. It tells us about His death and His burial. But it tells us that He rose again from the dead. This is the good news of the gospel. It is all about Jesus Christ, you see. It is the gospel of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of this message. He is the subject of this message. It is all about Christ. I know there are people who tell me, and they will say it, about the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the kingdom is totally different than the gospel of Christ. Do you ever think about that? Imagine preaching the gospel of no Christ in it. What things do this? Can't be right. You see, the gospel is all about Christ. And how He loved us, and how He came into this world, and how He made a sacrifice for sin. How He died and how He rose again. He's God's Son. Came into this world and lived it up without sin. But He died in our place. Friends, this is the subject of the gospel. The gospel of God, this glorious message. We preach Christ, as the Paul said. It's all about Christ. His love and His mercy. Then the strength of the gospel too. And this gospel message, see, in Romans 1 verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God. Unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Oh, he comes with the power and the strength of this gospel. This gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. And the word power in the Greek to mean is dynamite. There's power in the gospel message. Why? Because through the preaching of the gospel and through the proclaiming of the gospel of God, people are saved, people are delivered from the wrath of God to come, and people are brought into the family of God. How are they brought in? In the preaching of the gospel of God. Peter was eyewitness of this. The Peter must preach in Acts chapter 2, tells us he preached, it tells us that 3,000 people were saved in one sermon. You see the power of the gospel. 3,000. Now, I know it's not happening today. It's not happening here. It's not happening in Northern Ireland either. But it's not in different parts of the world. For people would see it all the time. For people hearing the message about Christ and how he loved him, how he died, how he can save. And they hear this wonderful message. And they come to Christ and they trust him with all their heart and they're delivered from their sins and brought into the family of God. It's happened all the time. And it has happened to me inside of God. It has happened to you. And you and I are living proof this afternoon about the power of the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of God. The gospel about Christ. Oh, I'm glad I can say there's power in the gospel. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse the fire of sin and clean. Oh, this message has been preached by Abraham, Moses, and David, and the apostles. Oh, a glorious, glorious message. It is, without doubt, I have to say, the greatest message in the world. The gospel of God. And you're glad you've heard it. And you're glad you have it in your lap in the Bible. The glad that speaks, the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and preach this glorious message. Go and tell people that they need to be saved. They need to come to Christ and they need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Go and preach it. That's what we do. We go out to preach. We don't preach ourselves. We do not preach this church. We do not preach this denomination. We preach Christ. It's the message. The message is all about. The gospel meetings are all about. And our chief object is to preach Christ. It's the gospel of God. This glorious message. Luther called John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish of everlasting life. He called it the gospel in miniature. He said it's so simple that a child can understand it. And someone put these words to that great text, and I'll read it to you. The greatest message in the world, God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. But whosoever, the greatest invitation. Believeth, the greatest simplicity. In him, the greatest person. Should not perish, the greatest deliverance. But, the greatest deliverer, the greatest difference. Have the greatest certainty, everlasting life. The greatest possession. I thought that was marvelous when I came across it. I actually came across that in Kenya. One of our missionaries had those words up on the wall. I thought that was marvelous. And I asked her to send them to me. And I actually came across them the other day when I studied somebody else had them as well. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever, doesn't matter friends who he is, doesn't matter what sort of life he has lived, if he comes to Christ, if he believes with all his heart and he trusts the Lord Jesus, he has everlasting life and he saved from the wrath of God to come. And it's called the gospel of God. Thank God the Lord has called me to preach the gospel of God. And what a responsibility and what a privilege to preach about Christ. If you're not saved this afternoon, you're hearing not the greatest picture, you're probably hearing the worst picture. That never changes. You hear better preachers than me, I have no doubt about that. But you not hear a better gospel. You never hear a better gospel than this. It is the gospel of God. I want to say to any who may be on, say, Christ can save you. Christ can forgive you. His blood can cleanse you. He can give you everlasting life. He can take you to heaven. He can save you from hell. That's a great message. Called the gospel of God, a glorious message. This message. And you've heard it. You've heard it this afternoon. You've heard it in the past. There are many other people, or some people I have to say in the world, has not heard, has never heard this message. But you've heard it. You've heard this message. You've heard about your sin. You've heard about Christ. You've heard about his love. You've heard about his power. He can save. He can give everlasting. Well, glorious message, the gospel of God. When he went on to speak about a grave mistake, which is what shall the end be that of them that obey not the gospel of God? What sad words these are that men and women, listen, all over the world, they hear this message. And they hear about Christ, and they hear how he can save them, but they hear this message, but they do not obey it. They obey not the gospel of God. They turn their back on Christ. They shut their heart on this message. They say, I do not want Christ. I don't want his love. I don't want his mercy. I don't want to leave the world. I don't want to leave my sin. And they obey not the gospel of God. Let me say this, this has been God's message. They obey not the conditions of the gospel. What are the conditions of the gospel? Well, the Lord Jesus sent them out in Mark 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, believe the gospel. Listen, that is the conditions of the gospel to all men. Doesn't matter what country, doesn't matter what world we're in. Repent and believe the gospel. There are two conditions in the gospel. The sinner is to repent. He has to turn away from wickedness. He has to turn away from his sins. He has to turn away from the world. He has to turn away from all that which is divided. He has to come to Christ. And that's what happens. A change of heart, a change of life, a change of direction from the Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 33 verse 11, it says, say unto them, if I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. For let the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Oh, here's the prophet Ezekiel, and he's preaching this message of repentance. And he's saying to the people, and the Lord has given him this message. Turn ye from your evil ways. That's his repentance. Turn from evil ways and live. That's one of the conditions. The other one is, of course, believing. Believe in Christ and Christ can save you. I believe, we sing in our great hymn in our hymn book, that Jesus saved and his blood washes whiter than the snow. Trust in Jesus only. Trust in the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, wipe me off like a dying thief. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. What was his answer? He was a wicked man. A sinful man. He had lived his whole life away from Christ. He was about to go into eternity. But he said, Lord, remember me. Lord, you can save me. Do the Lord send that man today that should be with me in paradise. You see, this is the conditions of the gospel. Repent and believe with all your heart. For the world does not turn from their sin. If they do not come to Christ, if they do not obey the gospel, then they do not obey the conditions of the gospel. They will not repent and they will not believe. And maybe there's people in the community, and this is right, maybe there's people in the congregation, and this is you. You will not repent and you will not come to Christ. That's a great mistake. You're obeying not the conditions of the gospel. Not only that, you're obeying not the call of the gospel. Some of the greatest words, and one of my favorite verses in the Bible, is Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, says Christ, I give you rest. What words these are that fall from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me. Come to me, he says, I will save you, I will give you rest, all your weary and your heavy laden. Come to me, says Christ. And people pass by. People go on about their business. They go on in the world. They run after sin. They will not come to Christ. They obey not the gospel. God, they obey not the call of the gospel. Have me friends, as the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord will call unto you, but you will not come. You will not trust him.
You see, you're obeying not the gospel, the call of the gospel, or the Christ of the gospel. When a sinner disobeys the conditions of the call of the gospel, he disobeyed the Christ of the gospel. Remember this. It is Christ who issues the conditions on the call. And if you don't obey the call, and if a person does not obey the conditions of the gospel, you disobey Christ. You disobey Him, who is Lord and who is King. Is it funny today that people will obey other people and things? Well, they're supposed to. When you go to school, the teacher says, "Oi, sit down, you don't like that." If he says you sit down, you sit down. You obey teachers. People obey their powers and mothers. People obey the policeman. The speaking signs around the time, we try to obey them and all. But you know, when it comes to God's word, it comes to these things that are right, these things that are serious. People throw them to the one side. This, I will not have this man to rule over me. I don't want nothing to do with Christ. I will not trust him. I will not come to Christ. But your reaction? Obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very sad words. Oh, you will not listen to the pleadings of the gospel. You will not receive the promises of the gospel. You will not trust the person of the gospel. I've said obedience in all of these things. Oh dear friends, it is a grave mistake to obey not the gospel of God. Is that what they're doing? Oh, the devil wants people to do this. He says, don't listen. Don't come to Christ. Don't leave your sin. Just carry on like this. Don't worry about it. I mean, which voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of Satan? Are you listening to your own voice? Are you listening to the voice of friends? Are you listening to the voice of Christ? Obey not the gospel of God. I once did not obey the gospel, so did you, child of God. We turned our ear away from the gospel, we would not come to Christ. But we thank the Lord that He gave us grace to come. It is a grave mistake to obey not the gospel of God. Greatest message in the Bible, the opportunity to come to sinners, to hear the good news, to find rest and to find life. The cast it to the one side, they obey not this gospel. That's a very great mistake. Well, then there's a great misery mentioned in our text too. But tell us here, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? It talks about the misery of the end. What shall the end be? That's a very solemn question. But you know, the Bible answers it for us. So when I give you the answer here in a moment, it's not my answer. It's God's. And God talks about a great misery for those who will not have Christ, and who will not come to Him, and who will not trust Him. What shall the end be of them? Well, obey not the gospel of God. Well, the Bible tells us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writing to the church of Thessalonians, he says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and the verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." He's telling us of a great day. The Lord Jesus is coming again. He's not going to leave us in this old world. He's coming. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, He's coming from heaven with His mighty angels. Now look at verse 8. "And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel." Our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells me Christ is coming with His angels, but it tells us He's coming with power, and it tells us He's coming in flaming fire, and He's taking vengeance. Who's He taking vengeance upon? On them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, here we find this misery that will fall upon sinners. It's coming. It is linked to His coming again. Christ will come with flaming fire. It is fierce. It talks about fire. It talks about vengeance. In verse 9, it says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." It talks about punishment. It talks about wrath, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming down upon these people who will not obey the gospel, who will not trust them, who will not leave our sin.
But there's a final judgment as well, because it says everlasting destruction. That's all the words, because there's no hope for anyone when Christ comes. When he appears with his angels, with his wrath against people who rebel against him, who reject his word, who reject his message, he comes with wrath upon those who will not trust him, in flame and fire with everlasting destruction, who shall be punished for the presence of the Lord. That's a good mention. You cannot turn away from God and turn away from him. You cannot live a life of sin and hope that everything's going to be well. You cannot reject Christ, who is altogether lovely, who is a great Savior. You cannot reject him. I hope everything's going to be well, because everything will not be well. And we have to be honest with the Word of God. This is the Word of God. What shall the end be of them? Of them at the cross of God. They shall be punished with flaming fire, everlasting destruction, by Christ. And it is by him. The Bible talks in Revelation about the wrath of the Lamb. I tell you this, I can preach about the love of the Lamb and the light of the Lamb. Christ is the Lamb of God, and all of these things, and he's loving, and he's kind, and he's merciful. But there's such a thing as the wrath of the Lamb. He will deal with sinners. He will deal with sin. God who is holy, God who is just, God who is righteous will deal with the ungodly of this world someday. That's why we pray. That's why I pray for people, that they might be saved. That's why I preach the gospel to people, that they will come to Christ. I want people to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want them to get everlasting life. I want you, if you're all saved in this week, I want you to come to Christ. And I want you to trust him with all of your heart. Nobody in this congregation wants you to perish. Nobody wants you to lose your soul. Do you see the end of those who have been unto God? To lose your soul for all eternity in hell is a terrible thing. But the one who will put his wrath down upon people can save this afternoon, can deliver this afternoon. If you will come and trust him, if you will come and put your faith and trust in Christ, he can save you. He can give you everlasting life. Would you not come and trust him? Maybe you have not been obeying the gospel for a long time. Change your ways this afternoon. Turn from your sin. Come to him. He will cleanse you. He will save you. He will give you everlasting life. He will take you at home at last to heaven. But you must come to him. You must trust him with all of your heart. Don't go on in your disobedience. Don't go on rejecting Christ. Don't go on running after sin. Turn to the Lord Jesus. As it says in Ezekiel, turn ye from your evil ways. But why do we die? Why would people perish? Start with them. People choose the world, they choose sin. This verse says it. And then they lose their soul. How terrible. That's a great mistake. That is, my friend, the greatest misery of the ungodly, to be punished with everlasting destruction. Oh, child of God, rejoice, the Lord has saved us. We were once among that people. We once rebelled and rejected Christ. But he has saved us, and he has washed us in his blood, and he has given us everlasting life. May God write his word upon our hearts. Anyone have any questions? Concerned about your soul?